Some really hard times that I had gone through, and how people that in my life that I just wanted love and attention from, Lord God, just shut me out and were just horrible. And Father, the enemy could have used that to really have me fall away and really have me say, you know what, if stuff like this is going to happen, I don't even believe God's real. But Lord God, instead I chose to cling to you and to know that you're real and even pray for those that hurt me, Lord God, and pray for their hearts break, Lord, and for them just to see how lost they are without you, Lord. Help us to do that, Father. If we're in the middle of being hurt, Lord God, or in our past, or even if we're the people, Lord God, that have hurt others, Father, help us to repent and help us to seek forgiveness, Lord God, and to change, Lord, and to know it's not too late. We have all made mistakes. We have all hurt other people, Lord God. We all fall short. But it's never too late to change. So, Father, just help us with that, Lord. Help us to stay true and faithful to you till the end, Lord God. Help us not grow weary, Father. Singing to the Lord, it's kind of like a vow type thing. You know, this is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all of my heart, I worship you, and all I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. So as we're singing that, you know, it's kind of like you're singing this to the one that you love, you know, the one that you worship, the one that created you, the one that helps you. And anyway, so that's why I have that as the background. Desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All every moment that I'm awaiting, every breath that I take, Lord God, I do pray, Father, that you have your way in me. And the only way to do that, Lord God, is if there's less of me, Father. I think that's one continual prayer that I always have, Father, that there's less of Amy in this body, Lord God, and just more of your Holy Spirit. I tend to mess things up all the time, Lord. With my attitude, Lord God, even while we're having fun family time, sometimes I just let the enemy get in there, Lord. My flesh rises up, Lord. Forgive me for that, Father. I pray, Lord God, that for all of us, Lord, as we feel our flesh rising up, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's kind of like, you know, we're not supposed to be easily angered, you know. We're not supposed to always put ourselves first. When you start feeling that rise up in you and say, what about me? You know, or, oh my goodness, how could they do that to me? Me, me, me. That's that flesh that's rising up. Instead, you can say, oh Lord, Father, just how am I supposed to deal with this right now, Lord God? How is this making others feel, Lord God? How is this going to affect them, Lord, rather than myself? Help us to die to ourselves, Lord.
In Christ alone.
No power of hell and no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you love us so much, Father, even though we're so undeserving. Lord, that you give us that strength, Father, just to make it each day, Lord God. And that you can give us the discernment to know right from wrong, Lord God. And you give us that choice, Father. And Father, I pray that when we have that choice, Lord God, that we choose to love you. We choose right, Father. Individual we are, Lord God, and how you speak to us. And I pray, Father, that right now, for anyone here, Lord, that just needs that love or that understanding or that forgiveness, Father, or even some of that fear, Lord, of a father that's looking at their child saying, you can't do that. Turn away. Not because of this great, horrible punishment, but because that's not my best for you. I have more for you. I thank you, Lord God, that you showed me that you had more for me, Father. And for those of us, Lord God, that have been walking with you, help us not to turn around and seek those things, Father, that used to call us from the past, Lord. Not to put a great image right now, but help us not to be like those dogs that return to the vomit, because that's what that sin is. It's dogs returning to vomit, Lord. And for those of us that have strongholds, Lord God, help us to not turn back. Help us keep our hand at that plow and keep moving forward and working, Lord. But even in the midst of this, Lord God, help us to have sweet peace in your grace, Father. I just pray for your Holy Spirit to move today, Lord God, for your words. Just take hold of us.
So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he could pay back what he owed. Soon, when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved, came and reported their Lord and all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?" And the Lord was moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that he owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Father, may that not be said of us. If we have any aught against our brother, may we forgive. We don't have to reestablish relationship, but we must forgive. Because if we don't, it's like us drinking poison and hoping that the other person dies. It kills us, not them. Help us to forgive. When we realize that we don't have that power within us to do it, may we call on the name of the Lord. Because that's where the power resides. That name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Isn't that what we need?
Amen.
More of His Holy Spirit flowing in and through us. Us stepping out of the way and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and to move through in our lives. That's when lives are changed. That's when our lives are changed. That's when the lives of others around us are changed. When that happens. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And then.
Can I make an announcement?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes.
May I?
Yes.
I didn't know when to do it, so.
Okay, I was supposed to have like little cards for everyone to kind of fill out this information to save my hand. Sorry. But I'll bring them next week. Okay, so Amanda, would you please stand up? I know nobody knows this, but she's actually pregnant. And I thought it would be really awesome for us as a family to throw her a really nice baby shower. And it's going to be here on October 1st. It's up there, obviously. And from like 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I just thought, you know, if you have any questions or anything, give me a call. But one of the things I thought would be really fun is if we all kind of like brought like a favorite dish, or this is for the ladies, right? Yeah. I wrote like a pretty favorite dish or dessert in a bite-sized way. You don't have to do that. It was just kind of like make your creativity. Like, you know, like if you want to make sandwiches, like cut little baby sandwiches or whatever. You guys get the idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot of stuff on the internet. So that is a fun idea. Like I said, if you have any questions, you could call or text me or Rebecca or, you know, or anyone. Just to... Anyway, so I'll bring more information. I'll bring little cards for you guys to write yourselves a note to have it on your refrigerator.
Now, is this supposed to be a secret?
This is a surprise, you guys. It's a surprise.
Oh, okay, good.
Don't tell Amanda.
It's really not on the first.
When is the baby due? November 27th.
Isn't that great?
Because we all love babies. We want to celebrate babies.
Now, hey, well, it seems like I'm really kind of loud. Hey, so everybody just brings a dish to, you know, we can buy plates, if that would be easier, some paper plates.
I got it.
Okay, whatever.
Make sure it's a yes word.
It was funny in my head. Isn't that really awesome? All right, a couple things you guys already, if this thing is,
yeah. Turn it on.
It's working.
Fire. Slide switch on the side.
Details. Okay, yes. Okay, you guys know who we are. Okay, you know we're in the book of Romans, so does anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand, and Jolt and Joe and Educated Elijah will bring one right to you, or Chris got one too. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand. Come back there, over here. Thank you. Come up there, we'll bring them to you. A couple things we have, a little goings-on, is we're having a after-church potluck also. And that is Sunday, September 25th at the Weaver Home. And so do you have any instructions for us, Erica or Nate, as far as, is it any type of theme, or is it any kind of just bring food and hang out and play? And
we will have a theme. We don't have it picked out yet.
Okay. Sweet. Cool.
That's just told Sue yesterday we don't have a theme, and we're not going to have a theme.
See, I told you it's not picked out yet.
Just got picked.
But I did say...
It's how we roll here. You just got to use it.
But please bring lawn chairs if you'd like to sit outside. You might want to bring extra bug spray due to all the rain and the mosquitoes that we might encounter.
It's not on.
Oh, sorry. okay, so I said lawn chairs, bug spray. There is no theme.
Dessert.
Oh, sorry. Dessert for Pastor Aaron.
Yeah. Musical instruments.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. Bring your instruments.
Bring the tuba.
If you want to have like a little circle, music circle. And Kate's really excited that you're coming.
I think it's going to be great. We always have a good time out there. It's just frisbee, zip lines. And this, if I don't make it exactly on the men's night, exactly 5:30 with the frisbee, I got one for here. I'm giving one for either one of you two take it. So, man, we're just excited about that. So, you know what? It's a good time to get to know people and to hang out. It's always a fun time. It's always a blessed time. So we just want to encourage you to come out. Also, we have coming up in September, at the end of September, is a weekend to remember up in Tampa. It's a marriage getaway, and that's from Family Life. And if you guys are interested in that at all, please let us know. I can shoot you a little video, and you can register at thejoyfm.com. We've got tickets. It's close by, and so if you would like to go to that, or if there's anybody here who would like to organize a group together, and we'd be happy to do that. We want to make sure we mention that to you as well. They've got I think a 96% success rate where stuff, you know, folks really come by and encourage after they leave there. So,
there?
Yes.
We went. In fact, you wouldn't even say the name, were you? And then I was and she wasn't. Friends invited us, and that's 30-some years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so we won 96%.
Wow, that's awesome.
Sweet. Congratulations, Mary.
Yes.
Maybe you have a little here. Friends of the Lord and her.
Josh and I actually went before we got married, as while we were engaged. And it was really, even, you know, for engaged couples, it's really great, too. So.
Okay, cool.
So we had a section for
great testimonies.
You know,
yeah, they have
engaged.
One for married people and one for, like, engaged to be married.
Okay,
and it was really great. So.
Cool.
I encourage it.
Well, if you're interested, there you go. Also, Passion is coming down here to Bradenton. Louis Biglio is going to be speaking worship here in October up at Woodland Community on the 12th. Just encourage you to go to that. Louis Biglio is always great when you can hear him teach.
Do you know how much that is?
I'm sorry?
How much is that to see Louis Biglio?
You know what? I'm trying to remind, send me a text. I had it in my mind and I thought, I won't forget that. I forgot that. So I think it's like $20. That's what's in my head. But text me and I'll find out.
How do you get like that to your church?
And you have a big church and lots of money. We would love that. So, if you know of any folks who would like to come, good godly people who would just like to come and bless us, we are happy to receive it. Okay, folks, here we go. This week, if I believe Carrie, I see you here. On Monday at 7 p.m., the Chronic Pain Support Group is meeting at your house.
No.
At the church here now? Okay.
Don't come in my house.
Okay. And here, is there anything you would like to say or anything you would...
Just please somebody come.
Okay. All right. Good. Please
so
come.
So I don't sit here by myself.
Aw, that would be terrible.
I know.
Also, it's a men's Bible study. Yes, Gary?
We had a great summer. Some great guys did teach us, and we're going to go back to our normal pattern here. And that was just the suits us.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to Samuel.
And dealing with what to do when you're really frustrated. And Tanner is Mr. Manley and Rudy, right?
Yep.
Nice.
And then stuff. Nice. Good. I know they got the grill all hooked up, too, so that was great. Also, youth group, Wednesday, 6:30 at Mendon County Youth for Christ. And then Thursday night, starting September 15th, barbecue and Bible study. And folks have been asking what we're going to go into, and we're going to start through 1 Kings.
Ooh.
A house, a heart, and house divided.
Ooh.
And so if you guys would like to join us here, everybody's welcome. Just we're going to be very casual. You're going to see me in t-shirt, shorts. We're just going to have some food, and then just a Bible study, and whatever the Lord does, whatever the Holy Spirit's moving, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through the book of 1 Kings. Yeah. Good question. We're going to start it off. We'll see how it goes. We're going to start it off. We'll usually probably be, say, twice a month. And so we'll bring it up. It's going to start on the 15th. We probably wanted it to start on the 1st and 15th, but just didn't get it. It was just too much stuff going on at the time. It was still starting.
What time is it?
Yes, thank you. It is going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. It's going to be very casual, so we don't want it to be a big deal. Just come if you want to eat, bring your family. It's just more of that kind of an atmosphere. Yes?
I have a question. Will we also do 1 Kings? Will we also do 2 Kings?
Chances are, but I always want to ask the Lord because He's in charge.
Okay.
I say yes, absolutely, but God can say, no, I want you to do something different. And so, you know, what better Bible study than, you know, we're living in a time where people's hearts are divided, people's homes are divided, you know, and just like we're seeing in 1 Kings, you know what I mean? Our heart and our homes need to be fully devoted to the Lord. We want His blessing and all that He has for us. And then the Kingdom Living Bible Group Forum is also this Friday at 7 p.m., and I think that's at Chris's house this week, and so you're welcome to go to that as well. That's open as well. And thank you for praying for Shepherd's Heart Christian School. Somebody was asking me, this is not everybody, but it's just brief. Some didn't see the picture. And so there's at least 30 there, 28, and not everybody's in that picture, but it's going really fantastic, and it's really been a blessing. So thank you for praying, and thank you for giving the schools. Before we get started, guys, I want to talk a minute about what's going on. You guys know, or maybe you don't know, there's so much going on in the world as far as persecution. It's overwhelming. You know, for those of you who don't know, Russia just had a new law that basically now bans evangelism. So if you share Jesus now outside of the church, you can now be arrested. Isn't that incredible? And the first reports of Christian leaders being arrested in Russia, this was just a couple of days ago, following, they call it anti-terrorism laws. It started coming in, and Christians are being arrested now over there. Isn't that, you don't even hear about so much of this stuff. Christian Post, I think, .com, where you can get some of this information. I mean, you've seen this. This is from about a week ago, or a few days ago, actually, August 30th. ISIS video showing five child soldiers from 5 years old, British, and they're shooting. It's terrible. This stuff is going on all over the place. You know, there's Moody in Voice of the Martyrs reporting Christians that were being crucified just this past week. What they do is they're crucifying them. Christians have been able to renounce their faith in Christ. This is something, you know, with ISIS, just even in our own country, you know, folks being sued because they want to practice what they believe. And what's odd to me is it's the Christians that seem to be look like the bad guys for everything. Isn't that weird? Yet here's people decapitating people, selling people into child slavery. This was in Fox News. Even our current administration, you would have to say, is, I'll say it lightly, is not Christian friendly. Just the opposite. And, you know, of the 10,000, you've been hearing a lot about the Syrian Christians who are being persecuted, driven out of their homes, killed, murdered, raped, terrible things all over the place. And so when I heard about 10,000 of those Syrian refugees coming to the U.S., when we looked at the statistics, 56 are Christian of 10,000 that they let in. That is just, that's mind-boggling. This is the ISIS new magazine. It's made to be in English, and again, you know, Jesus says to love our enemies and to bless those who persecute us. Okay, that can only happen by the Holy Spirit working inside of us. Amen. But this is a magazine they created. It just came out. Glossy, and there. This is the headline. This is what we're about, in case people are confused, what ISIS is about, because there seems to be a lot of confusion in our country. Break the cross. That's the name of the issue in the magazine. That's the goal. The article is why we hate you and why we fight you. And basically talks about, yes, and it basically talks about, here's the reason why we hate you, and that, anybody who thinks that we're not Muslim is doesn't know what they're talking about. This is what we're about, and we're here to basically eradicate Christ. And that's what they're about. They hate us. They see us. They see America. They said, you know, homosexuality, sexual immorality. They see so much of it, and so their goal is to destroy. And this is what's going on. Okay, now. This is happening all over the place. And the reason why I make you aware of this is because the persecution is here already. It's just we're not feeling all the effects of it. Our minds, our thoughts are on so many different things, you know what I mean, that we think are important. But man, it's already here. You just can't feel all the effects of it yet. So we need to get serious about the Lord. We need to get serious at judgment starts in the house of God. So we need to get serious about, you know, how we're living. You know, how are we living for the Lord? You know, what's in our life? How's our attitude? How's our heart? Right? We need to start getting serious about where we're at with the Lord. And and stop pointing at her and her at him and him at them. We need to start saying, what about my house? As for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord. So does anybody have any comments on some of this stuff? We're going to be doing, we do this every year, Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors. We have like a month long where we pray and we show video about the persecuted church because it's not talked about a lot. And so we'll be doing that, I think, next month, maybe the month after.
With those statistics, that to me, that only reinforces that Obama sanctions genocide of Christians.
Well, I'm not going to get into the politics, and I can't judge the man's heart.
That's just a personal comment.
And you know what? If so, then all the more we need to be praying for him.
Right.
And for all those people. Again, we don't, as Christians, you know, God is love, okay? So we want to take a stand, right, for the Lord, but we want to take a stand in love. And the only way that can happen is through asking Jesus Christ to do that heart, so we could have a heart like him to love our enemies. And to pray for those who persecute us and despitefully use us. Amen? Yes, Nate.
While we're all very focused on this, can we pray right now?
Yes, I think that's a great idea.
I see these reports and stats, you know, over the weeks and months, and sometimes we get desensitized. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm feeling slapped in the face that this is real stuff.
Yes.
And God help us all, and God help, you know, the Christians.
You know what, it was one of the a ministry worker who I know was, she doesn't usually get into politics, but one of her family members was there, and she said, I was campaigning for my family member, and so I was at the polls, and it was a bipartisan candidate. I'm just sharing, you know, this is her values, and she said there was so much hatred on both sides, the Republican and the Democrat, so much hatred. And then especially if you say, which she is, she's a born-again, sold-out Christian. She said, the hatred, especially towards me, was just so intense that I just blessed them with kindness. I got them water. I asked them how their day was. Could I get you anything? How are you doing? And that's like a breath of cool, fresh water in dry and thirsty land. That's what we're supposed to be. So ask God to make that. And would you pray for us right now? But I remember her saying, they hate us. The vehemency is so real. I don't think people realize it. And you know what? All the more, God, fill us. We can't do this on our own because our hearts will be bitter. They'll become hard and angry, right? That's not how he wants us to be. So would you pray for whatever the Lord leads me right now?
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you that we can come before you at any time, any place. And Lord God, we, number one, ask for forgiveness for not taking these things seriously enough and to just sweep them aside as just another news report, Lord God. These are real souls. These are real families. These are real individuals that are being affected even today. And Lord Jesus, we just pray right now, according to your mercy and your grace, that you would have mercy. And we do ask for protection. We do ask for supernatural provision in this situation. Lord God, we pray that your will would be done and that your will would be done quickly. Lord Jesus, we ask for your help. We ask for your forgiveness for our nation. Lord Jesus, we need you. Father God, strengthen these people, these individuals, these families that are speaking your name, that are not turning to Muslims, that are not turning to other faiths, that they are staying true, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would help each of us to have the ability to stay true and to continue to serve you, Lord God, and to speak your name when it's not easy, when folks have so much hatred towards us, Lord God. Help us to be able to show love. Help us to show your spirit, Lord God, that you would flow through each of us, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you are here today, Lord, and you're hearing these prayers. I thank you for this body in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hezekiah, would you get those lights? Thank you, brother. Thank you for praying. Thank you. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, Debbie, you have some wonderful, I love your questions, you know, and there's a lot of things that we don't have here at this church, and maybe God has brought you here to help bring that dynamic. You know, we're pretty basic folks here. I'm a basic guy. Here's what you're going to get here. These two things. You're going to get love, God's love, and God's truth. It's like two sides of a sword. You know what I mean? And we need both. So hopefully in Jesus' name, you're going to get love down here, but you're also going to get truth. And when we're talking about, you know, truth, then it's got to be both. Because truth without love is just brutality. You know what I mean? You could, how do I look today, honey? Really fat! You know, you could be brutal with somebody. Hey, how was that teaching? It was stinky! You know, truth without love is brutal, but love without truth is hypocrisy. We need both sides of that. Okay? And the legalists want to go to the truth, just truth, truth, truth. And the liberals kind of want to go, just love, love, love. You can do whatever you want. But it's really, it's the balance of both. Love and truth is what we need. And that's what you're going to get here. And if God continues to bless and continues to, you know, start schools and doing all this stuff, that's from Him. And but here's what you're going to find here. You know, if God does it bigger or God does it differently, you're going to come here and you're going to get love of God and the Word of God being taught. That's it. It's simple. That's what you're going to get. And we want to fill you up and equip you with the Word and equip you with God's love to the best of our ability. And so, you know, we're talking in Romans 7. We were talking yesterday about the struggle within, you know, lazy license versus legalism. You know, we talked a lot, like, what is legalism, you know, and what does that mean? And how God doesn't want us to be legalistic in our relationship with Him. You know, that's what He's looking for, a love relationship, not a legalist of do's and don'ts. But the other side of that, what is, can somebody tell me, what is a license? What does a lazy license mean? Okay, so we said legalism bad, it breeds hypocrisy, anger, frustration. You can't do it. You know, you're trying to obey all these rules and you become so frustrated. But what about the other side? Oh, it's just grace. God, we can do what we want. We can live what we want. What is that? Can somebody tell me what is lazy license? I mean, what is that? Not being convicted of your sin. Okay, good.
We know we're forgiven, so we'll just do whatever we want.
Yes, yes. Good, good.
An abuse of grace.
An abuse of grace? What does that mean?
That means that we take His grace for granted, and because we know we're going to be forgiven, we think we can do whatever we want.
Yeah. You know, that's such a good point, too, because that's in the previous chapter. If you remember Romans 6, you know, he talked about, should we live a lifestyle of sin because grace abounds more? Remember what he said? He said, Meginamai, God forbid we should live like that. Even when it talked about, and it went later on in that chapter, it talked about little sins. And he said, should we just do the occasional sin and not worry about it because it's right covered by the blood, right? Should we just work? God forbid, he said. And so we want to make sure that we're balanced. In this next section, you know, Paul's going to talk about something that's going on in his own heart, where he's been born again by the Spirit of God, but he's got this battle. And maybe some of you guys have this struggle too. You know, before you're saved, ultimately you're going to give in to the sin, right? The Bible says you're a slave to sin. You might not think you're a slave to sin, but ultimately, no matter how tough you are or how strong-willed you think you are, you're giving in to the sin. You're honestly just a slave to sin. When you become born again, His Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. Something supernatural happens within you. God's Spirit comes within you, and He empowers you to live that life. But there's still a battle that goes on. Some of you have experienced that. You know what I mean? You want to do some of these things, right? But you struggle with it, and you find yourself doing, man, I blew it again. I was angry. I blew it again. I'm gossiping. Oh! You know, and there's a struggle. And that's what Paul's going to be talking about in chapter 7. Would somebody mind reading the first, I think we got through the first six verses.
Verse 7.
in Romans chapter 7. Will somebody reread that for us just really quickly, if you don't mind? Raise your hands, Romans chapter 7. You want to read it?
Verse 6 to 7.
Actually, I want you to read from 1 to 6. That'll give you a chance to get there. That's all. Romans chapter 7, from 1 to 6.
All right.
Thanks.
Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound to law, bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you have died, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may not belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now that we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code.
Good. Thank you so much. Well, you're like speed readers. Remember those speed reading courses when you were young? That was good. Thanks, Action Jackson. You know, as we went through some of that stuff, you know, we're talking about, you know, hey, we were married to the law, but now the law has died. And now we're married to another man, so to speak, and that's Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to me, you know, this, that you picked that ring, and this is a ring that we have. This is my wedding ring, okay? And it reminds me and others around me that I belong to another, okay? It's got a cross in the middle of the heart to remind me that I belong to Jesus first. And then me and Lisa on either side, there's two other crosses that we've died to ourselves and we're following Jesus. But this is a symbol, and it's that I'm a married person. So I can't live a single lifestyle anymore. I can't live however way I want anymore because I'm married to another. In that same way, as a Christian, you're no longer bound by that law. You are married to another person. You're not free from the law to live however you want. You're now free to honor the Lord. You're married to him. What else happens when you're married? What changes? Especially if you're a woman. What changes? Don't be careful with that. Let me tell you. Where do I begin?
No, I was going to say, for me, it means that my schedule is free to, you know, I always tell married people, you can't have her schedule and his schedule because it doesn't work. Somebody has to lead, and another person just has to be available to go with that schedule. So for me, it means that my schedule is free when my husband is not working, and I'm with him. So it's a thing of, like, my time is not even my own, and it's not because I'm terrified of my husband, but because I love him, and I don't want to fight. We can't get anything accomplished if we're going separate ways. So
yes, good. So time changes, our schedule changes. You know, what you do changes. How about that? Is it? Would some of the women agree on that? Once you're married,
your name changes.
Oh, that's, thank you. I was waiting for that one. Your name changes. Now let me ask you a question. You know, and that name now represents something, doesn't it? Like, for example, my wife now has the name Lisa Shuttlebauer. Now, that wasn't her name, but now that we're married, she represents the Shuttlebauer family. So what she does, where she goes, what she says, everything she does represents the Shuttlebauer family, in a sense, right? In that same way, if you are married to Christ, your name is changed. You're now married to him. What you do, what you say, where you go, should all reflect that your marriage relationship, that person. If my kids get in trouble for doing something dumb, the Shuttlebauer kids, that reflects poorly on the Shuttlebauer family, right? In that same way, if you're now married to Christ, if you're doing things that are dishonoring him, right, that's taking his name, the name above all names that we said every tongue will confess and every knee will bow, and we're smearing his good name. Did you ever think about it that way? If you are now married to Jesus, he's your first priority. No one else, nothing else. He's the one who sets the schedule. He's the one that's wants to work in and through you to do his good will. So here we are at a section in Romans that, honestly, if I had a chance not to do, I would not do it. I would just jump to 8, but God has this in here for a reason. I talked to Heather about maybe buying a big church trampoline, and then we're all going to jump on the trampoline so I can help facilitate the rapture before today. But unfortunately, we're still here. And so God has something I think he wants to speak to us. And in verse 7, it starts with struggling with sin. And so when he's talking about, hey, you died to the law and all this stuff, you're released from the law, you've got a new way to live by the Spirit. You know, some people might say that the law's bad or the law's sinful. And here's what Paul says in verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Again, am I? No, God forbid. Indeed, I would not have known. You're going to see a lot of eyes, a lot of knees, because Paul's like saying, this is where it's at. He's like, I would not even know what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law hadn't said, do not covet. So, if we go back one page to Romans 3:20, or at least one page in my Bible, it says, no one's going to be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Con with science knowledge. So the law makes us conscious of sin. And Paul's like saying, man, I wouldn't even know what sin was except it wasn't for the law. And he said, I wouldn't even know what coveting was if the law had said, do not covet. You know, and it's interesting that there's usually a certain thing. You said there was something that kicked you in the pants, you know. And I think this law, do not covet, kicked Paul in the butt. See, because Paul was a pretty righteous guy. The Bible says he was like a Pharisee. You know those guys where Jesus was saying, man, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. You're all fancy on the outside, but inside a dead man's bones. It was all a show, right? Because legalism breeds hypocrisy, right? It makes everything a show. And so Paul was like, I can just see him with the Ten Commandments now. I've never murdered. Aren't I righteous? I've never stolen anything. I keep holy the Sabbath. I don't have any idols. And kind of going down this little list, I've never committed adultery. And then he gets to covet. Does everybody know what covet means?
No.
Okay, well, what does covet mean?
Lust after things.
Take something
that belongs. Lust after things, good. What else?
Take something that isn't yours.
To want something that's not yours. It's a sin of the
heart.
Heart. And of the flesh, but it's more of the heart. It's not an outward thing, right? Like I'm thinking, man, I really want that shirt Nate has. I don't think he should have it. I want it. Or, oh, that whatever, that look at that car. I so want that. It should be mine. Paul is realizing that it's not just external, like the Pharisees thought. It's the law of the heart. I can stand before you all proud, you know. I keep the Ten Commandments. And Jesus is like, oh, really? Oh, yeah. We're talking about marriage. Well, I've never slept with another woman. Fantastic. Wow, guys. You know what? I've never even, I'm going to say passionately kissed because, no, wait. We're Italian. And so, like, especially if you're older or if you're in front of something, I'll kiss on the cheek or something like that. It's what we do, especially. I used to do it with my grandma and my mom. So it's a sign of, like, love and. So, but I've never passionately kissed another woman since I've been married in all these years. Not you. Oh, praise the Lord. I feel pretty good about myself. Yeah, I'm pretty righteous, aren't I? Yeah, I can stand pretty well. But then Jesus says, hey, Darren, do you know that if anyone looks at a woman lustfully and lusts in their heart, he's committed adultery? You realize, well, I've never murdered anyone, Lord. I'm not like those people, you know, those murderers. You know, Darren, he says, have you ever hated someone? Well, I mean, some people have really done me wrong, Lord. He's like, well, then you've really already committed the sin of murder in your heart. Oh. That's a different story. And so he's starting to understand, Paul's starting to understand, man, this, when that starts to be revealed in you, you might think you're a fantastic person. And then the law comes around, and the Holy Spirit shows you, you're not such a great person after all. I'm not attacking you, but before you come to the end of yourself, you have to realize you stink. You do. And you're not good enough, and you're never going to be good enough. That's why you need the supernatural indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit coming upon you and making a change from the inside. If you try to make changes in your life from the outside, you've been what? What'd you say?
You can't do it.
You can't do it. And if you think you can, I'm just going to try to spare you some pain. Good luck with that, because somewhere down the road, you're going to hit face first on the cement, and you're going to realize you just can't. And so this is what's happening to Paul. And he says this in verse 8. You know, he says, but sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. You okay there, Linda? But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. And that word opportunity, that Greek word there is aphorme. And that means like, almost like it's a military term. It's like a base of operations. So it's almost like saying that sin, when the command came around and stirred my heart, rebellious nature, it's almost like made a base camp from which to attack. It's almost like sin used that opportunity. And we talked about this too. Let me get it real quick. Actually, I'm going to say this really quick too. When it says, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, we become conscious of sin. That's what the law does. It's almost like the law almost does what it works in our heart. It's almost like an MRI. Has anyone ever had that done to them? Okay. It's very loud, isn't it? You go in there and, you know, it's kind of scary. You know, it doesn't hurt, but it's kind of scary. You know, and what it does is it gives you an internal image of all your body. And some of my friends, some in this church have actually found out, man, well, we've got cancer and things like that because you can see it with the MRI. Now, the MRI doesn't cure the cancer, right? It just finds it, right? It just reveals it. That's what the law does. And so the law, like, reveals stuff that's already there. Okay, that's what it does. It's impossible. The law reveals it, but it doesn't give you any power to renew, any power to rebuild. That's where Jesus comes in. Okay, I did something really stupid today, this week, and I'm going to go get an X-ray this week, probably, from our chiropractor. You know, it was raining really hard, okay? And so what I always do when I let out the dogs, I put the garage door up, probably not all the way, because, you know, if it's raining or if it's really hot, I don't want to get all that sun in there or the rain. So I raise it to about here, right? Chest level, maybe here. And I duck. I go under and duck, and I go in and do my stuff. Well, you guys know we had that hurricane come through. And it is raining, torrential downpour. So I open the garage, I'm getting wet. Oh, and then I remember I forgot all my stuff. So I run back out to the car. Of course, I'm getting poured on. Grab my hat to be able to see because, you know, I got glasses. I'm running back over there, and I'm trying to guard the stuff that I have in my hand so it doesn't get wet. And I think that I'm in the garage already. But I'm not. So I'm running full force, you know, trying to get in from the torrential downpour. And I got the bill like this. I'm bent over. So I lift up my head. You know, the bill's still covering my eyes because I think I'm already in the garage.
You're running to the
door. And I'm not. I mean, boom! grunged. I mean, I flew back. I mean, it's like somebody clocked me. It wasn't just the aluminum on the outside. It was, you know, the metal, the steel reinforcement beam. It's got a big ding in it, you know. So I'm on the ground, you know, just, you know, of course, everything's, yeah, I'm on the ground. Luckily, I made it inside the garage as I, whoop. So when I go and I get that x-ray, I know something's wrong with my back and I can feel it. That x-ray is just going to show what I know is already wrong. And that's what the law does. It's showing us what's already wrong. And that law, we know what the law does. It says that sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. Again, it's that same thing. Don't step on the grass. It rouses that rebellious nature in us. You know? That's what it does. So the law is kind of like poking the little rebellious nature inside of you and saying, hey, oh yeah, you. And you. And me. That's what it does. The law exposes our sin and our sinful nature. I saw this, I don't know if you remember this, when I was a kid, it had this sign all over the place at Disney, you know, wet paint. And that's what I used to do. I used to go, and I still do, actually. There's something about us that just wants to touch it. And you guys remember this illustration from last week, so I won't give it to you again. But, you know, when somebody says, don't do something, it stirs us, that stirs up that natural sinful nature in us. You know what I mean? Like Prohibition, you guys remember that in American history? You guys remember what that was? Okay, so I heard a couple of you know. It's basically they took alcohol off the shelves. Okay, nobody could drink anymore for years. It was ratified, and it was like supposedly a big victory. But now that you said nobody could drink, you know, sometimes when you say stuff, people want to do the opposite. Like, for example, this. Lips that touch liquor shall never touch ours. I don't know. That makes me want to drink the liquor. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, especially if you look at their faces, I'm thinking, no problem here. You know? But that stirs up that rebellious nature. When somebody says, don't do something, or you can't do that. Oh, yeah, you think so? That rebellious nature, you know, and eventually, yes, this is for real. This really happened. And then years later, of course, you know, Prohibition ended. And so, you know, and so that stirs up that sin uses the law and twists it. It's so deceitful. And it uses that law to kind of poke at you. Say, I want you to do wrong. I want you to do wrong. And then it goes... It says this, and it says, for apart from the law, sin is dead. That last in verse 8, and that just, the Greek word is nekros, and that means basically lifeless, or it means inactive. So, verse 9 says, once I was apart from the law, but when the law came, sin sprang to life, and I died. What does that mean? I don't know. No. What does that mean? This is why I didn't want to teach it. But anyway, the Lord said you're called to it, so do it. Once I was alive apart from the law. Basically what that's saying is, you know what? Paul, when he was alive apart from the law, he led a very prideful life, a little self-righteous life. But when the law came, you know, all that self-righteousness, all that pride, and that sin sprang to life, and he realized, oh man, I'm really not as great as I think I was. I'm really actually a pretty terrible person. I've coveted, I've lusted, and all these things. You know, when it sprang to life, I died. And I realized that I had to die to self. You know, there's everybody go to Philippians in your Bible. And where is Philippians? How about chapter 3? Paul was a really religious, legalistic guy. Okay? And maybe you're a pretty self-righteous, you think you're a pretty good person. Paul did too. If somebody would read Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 9. Could somebody do that for me, please? Just raise your hand. Or I'll, okay, Pinky, I'll give you a second to get the mic there.
Yet I could have confidence in myself if anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. For I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish family that is a branch of the tribe of Benjamin. So I am a real Jew, if ever there was one. What's more, I was a member of the Pharisees, who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. And zealous? Yes. In fact, I harshly persecuted the church, and I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully that I was never accused of any fault.
2 to 9.
I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith.
Absolutely. Verse 10 said, back in Romans, he said, you know, I found that the very commandments that was intended to bring life actually brought me death. Listen, you know, Paul thought that by obeying all the commands, he was going to live, he's going to be so righteous before God. But that's not true. It's by faith. And I'm gonna tell you guys something, and don't stone me, because you might want to listen to all that I have to say. There are actually two ways for you to be saved. Now, what's happening in different people's hearts here, one group of people is saying, I knew there was another way. It didn't have to be this whole Jesus thing. By grace through faith. And somebody else is saying, man, this guy's borderline here, being heretical, freaking out. But there's actually two ways to be saved. Okay? Here you go. Number one, all you have to do, here's the first way. Okay? All you have to do is to keep the law perfectly. Just be righteous. Just obey every law, every commandment, everything you do. You don't do anything wrong. On top of that, you have to do everything right. On top of that, your thoughts and attitudes of your heart have to be perfect all the time, every second of the day, for your entire life.
From birth.
From birth till death. That's all you have to do. And you will be righteous before the Lord.
No grumble.
Or, right? Or, you can be righteous by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And you can accept his righteousness that he gives you, and his freedom from the law. And you can enjoy his freedom in a life. Which would you prefer? We all know what the Bible says. Listen, you know, if you think that by obeying the law is going to bring you life or happiness or favor with God or salvation, that's crazy. He says in Galatians 2:21, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Basically, if you could be a good enough person, right, then you don't need Jesus. If you could be good enough to get into heaven and be with the Holy God, you wouldn't need Jesus. That's why he came, though, so that you could live a life free from the confines of the law, free from having to live a slave to sin, so he could live in and through you. He's the one that gives you the power to live this life, to love like only he can love, to do what only he can do. It's him working in and through you. So you can choose which route you want to go, but no one's going to be perfect. You will never happen. You'll only end up frustrated or deceived. It's by grace through faith alone. For sin, seizing the opportunity, verse 11, afforded by the commandment, deceived me. and through the commandment put me to death. Sin is very deceptive. In other words, if sin deceived me by making me think I could be good enough to get to heaven and good enough to earn salvation, and that wasn't the case, it deceived me. And that's what sin does for you. You know, if you ever get to the point where there's something that God is clearly speaking to you, whether in your heart or in the Word of God, and you're saying, don't worry about it, sin is deceiving you. That's its goal, to make you numb to it. Don't listen to that. Listen to God. He goes on to say, so then, verse 12, the law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. So the law of the Lord are good. The law of the Lord is good because it reflects God's holiness. It reflects his character. It reflects his benefits. But it's not going to save you, and it's not going to make you righteous. Someone asked today, hey, you know, if I smoke, am I going to go to hell? Well, the answer is, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the answer is, you can smoke all you want. Now, you shouldn't do it. It's probably not the best witness. But you're not going to go to hell for it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The legals will say, you can't smoke, can't chew, and won't date girls that do. You know what I'm saying? You have the freedom to do these things, but don't let them be a stumbling block to other people. Right? You know, I have the freedom to drink. The Bible says, do not get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have the freedom to drink. Now, I choose not to drink because I don't want it to be a stumbling block for someone else in their hearts and in their lives. And so, the law is good. Everybody turn to 19, because we're talking pretty bad about the law, but to Psalm 19. And I just wanted to read us to read that really quickly. Because the law has a purpose. And again, it's to show us we need a Savior.
Yeah.
Go to Psalm 19, my friends. Let me get there myself. Okay? There's a purpose for the law. And starting in verse 7, Amy or John, would you mind reading that? It's going to say, as soon as I can do that for myself, starting in verse 7 in Psalm 19.
And ending where?
When I say
it. Yes, sir.
How about 11? Like maybe around verse 11.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
I love that. Really quickly. This is what the law is for, right? The law of the Lord is perfect in reviving the soul. Some of your translations might say something else. You guys have something else in there?
Converting.
Converting.
Converting the soul, yes. That's what the law of the Lord is perfect in, converting the soul. I like that, reviving the soul. The Hebrew word is shuv, and it means to repair or to refresh the soul or to convert the soul. That's what it's there for. Keep going.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
Amen to that.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
And then here are the benefits of obeying the word. Go ahead.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward.
Yes, so the word is our greatest possession, more precious than gold. It's our greatest pleasure. I mean, when they say sweeter than the honeycomb, now that doesn't mean anything to us. For me, it would be like, oh man, the word of God is better than a choco cherry blizzard. That's the choco and cherry thing, you know, or whatever. And the word of God is our greatest provision. By keeping them, there is great reward. And the Lord helps us to do that. So there's value in the Word of God and in the law. Back in Romans. Verse 13 says, did that which is good then become death to me? By no means, but in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced in me through what was good, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. In other words, man sin did what, I mean, the law did what it was supposed to do. What are you saying? Go to Galatians. Go to your right just for a minute. Galatians chapter 3. All right. Galatians chapter 3. Okay. Starting in verse 21. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 21. Mark, can I have you, if you're there?
Sure.
Can I have you read that?
Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if the law has been given, which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. But the Scripture has shut up all men under sin, that the promise of faith in Christ might be given to those who believe.
Yes, now jump down to verse 24.
Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ.
That's good. Thank you. So basically, the law, some of your translation, is a schoolmaster.
Yes.
Right? Until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. And now that faith is here, we're no longer under that law, or under that restriction, or under that schoolmaster. The next verse, yes, go ahead.
You know, if you look at that picture real close, that schoolmaster's holding something in his hand.
Yes.
He's got that nasty look on his face.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to take this stick and I'm going to whack you on the head.
And she has that rebellious look on her face, bring it.
And everyone needs to feel like, I did it and I'm going to get it.
That's it. Yeah. And the other kid's like, eh, I'm okay with the whole thing, whatever, move on. Yeah. He's been saved by grace.
Don't you tell me what to do.
Romans 7:14 says, we know the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave. We know the law is spiritual. It's not just written in stone. It's written in our hearts. But I'm like a slave to sin. And Paul is like struggling. You know, some people are, is he talking about himself? Is he talking about believers? He's going to go into this whole like passionate tirade. You're going to hear his heart in these next verses we're going to read. He's like, you know, struggling with doing it, things in the flesh. Why do I do the things that I don't want to do? And why don't I do the things? It almost sounds like, I put this up here, it almost sounds like an Abbott and Costello routine. You know, who's on first? You know, who's on first? I don't know, third base. Paul's going to be doing the same thing where he's like, I don't know, why do I do these things I shouldn't be doing, and I don't do the things that I should do, and what's the matter with me? But he's sharing the struggle that every Christian, he's talking about himself, he's saying I, me, the whole thing. But he's sharing something that everybody goes through. Even after you're saved, he comes in and he gives you a new nature. Once you're saved, you start desiring, before it was just like I desire the things of the flesh. But when he comes in, you start wanting to desire the things that the Holy Spirit desires. And you want to draw closer to the Lord. But there's this tug in our heart, okay? Before, the flesh used to just win all the time. But now the Holy Spirit's in there saying, your flesh wants to go this way, but I want you to go this way. And so he's like wrestling with this battle in his heart where his flesh is wanting to go one way. And I'm sure you've experienced it, right? You've woken up in the morning. Today, you know, it's going to be a blessed day. You know, I'm going to bless my family. My wife gets, I'm going to be so nice to her. And then the kids, I'm going to just bless them and tell them how much I love them. And then I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to buy some milk. And I make that cashier so happy when I go there. I just tell her, have a great day. And I get up and my wife's in a bad attitude. And that sets me off. So I start living off. And now we're in a fight. Oh, I already blew that one. Now I'm mad. Okay, well, I'm going to bless the kids. Okay, we're going to bless those kids. All right, kids, come down here right now. You're late for school. I'm going to bless you. Yeah. Yeah, what? And before you know it, by the end of the day, you've totally blown it, and you feel like the big
loser.
Right? So sometimes there's this struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And so as we read this, this is what he's going to talk about as he goes through this. And I need somebody to read from like verse 15, let's say, down to verse, oh, I'm missing a page in my Bible. That's important. There we go. Let's say maybe down to verse 23. How about that? Somebody do that? Okay, go for it. Give me just a second to make there was a mic for you.
I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is...
Just go ahead, really quickly. Just that one verse, you know? Romans 7:18, I know I wasn't going to interrupt you, but I remember I do want to interrupt you for this. Now, if you read it, I like the King James says it. It almost sounds like it's good. Paul's saying, you know, I almost picture like a guy with a pipe. And he's saying, you know, tapping it, you know. Yes, for I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is, in the flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. And it almost sounds nice, doesn't it? But listen to how, I love the Living Bible here. It's kind of like more for me. I know that I'm rotten through and through, so far as my own sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do it right. I want to, but I can't. And that is the cry of any Christian, which Paul is, trying to live this life in the flesh and not empowered by the Spirit. That's what you're going to come to. But I love how Paul says he knows who he is. Listen, 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul's speaking, and he says, man, he goes, I am the worst of sinners. He didn't say I used to be. He's talking, now he's saved. This is the Apostle Paul raising people from the dead, okay? You know, doing miracles, whoop-a-pow, preaching the gospel. He knows who he is. I am the worst of sinners. He knows there's nothing good living in him, right? Apart from Christ. It's Christ living in and through me. If you see good things in you liking me, right? You know what that is? Jesus!
Yeah, true.
Otherwise, I'm rotten to the core. I'm a self-centered pig. I got news for you. Or pigette. So are you.
We are.
Paul knows, he knows who he is. Do you know who you are? Well, that's not very affirming, Pastor Darren. That's not very positive. Well, that might not be positive, but it's the truth. But the more you can see yourself as you really are, the more you'll see your need for Christ.
That's right.
And his power daily. Lord, will you help me in this situation? Will you help me minute by minute, working through me as I talk to this person or that person or go through my day or think my thoughts? You will realize you need him all the more.
Yeah.
And that relationship will grow and blossom. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, I interrupted. Sorry. 18, go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry.
For I know that good does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. If I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I do. No longer do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me.
Mm-hmm.
For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law in sin at work within me.
Now, all that is simply saying that he goes, I am fighting this battle okay? And there's a battle going on inside of you now.
Yep.
Because your flesh and your spirit are warring, are duking it out, okay? The Holy Spirit inside of you is saying, this way, yield to me. The flesh is fighting this way. And you know, whichever one you're going to feed is going to be the winner. You know what I'm saying? If you feed your fleshly tendencies, well, guess what? That's going to grow inside you. If you feed the Spirit like you're doing today, even in some way, God is saying, I'm feeding you. I'm nourishing you right now through the Spirit. If you're into the Word, if you're praying and seeking Him in prayer, if you're doing these things, you're feeding the Spirit, the spiritual side is going to grow, and it's going to be the leader. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense, you guys? So are you feeding your flesh and just giving into stuff, or are you feeding your spirit? Are you asking God continually, work this out, empower me. I don't want to live this way anymore, Lord God. Are you making the choices, His choices? Because God will empower you when you do. When He says to do something, when He says a command to you, like I love the story of Jesus went into the church, the synagogue, and He went in there, and there was a man with a withered hand, and it was on the Sabbath day. And so the legalists were like, He's going to heal this guy, we're going to bust him, cha-ching! And they knew that Jesus would go to the most hurting person. And as Jesus went to him, He said, stand up. And he said, the guy stood up, and he said, okay, stretch forth your hand. Well, the guy could either listen to that command of Jesus and stretch it forth, or he could be like, what? I can't do that. I can't have victory over that. It's a withered hand. There's no way. It's impossible. Or he could just say, Jesus, you're telling me to do something. I believe you're going to empower me to do it. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to stretch forth my hand. And as he trusted Jesus stretched forth his hand, he was healed completely. When Jesus gives you a command, He will empower you to do it.
That's right.
You just have to step out of faith.
That's right.
You have to trust Him. And as you do that, His power will enter you, and you will be able to do it. That's your God.
Amen.
And that sinful nature, it happens even if somebody said as a baby, you know, Ben Hill, Rebecca. I remember Elijah as a baby.
Yeah, he was a baby.
I remember him doing this as a little teeny tiny little baby, learning to walk, right? And even that rebellious nature in him, he's such a great kid. You know, everybody's like, oh, God, what an angel, he's so amazing. Well, let me tell you about some things. I just remember him. I'd tell him, this is my son, okay? As like Elijah. You know, I don't know if it was electrical outlet or the garbage can. I can't remember which it was, but it was one of those two things. He'd be like,
Dad?
And I'd be like, son, that is no touch. No. And he'd look at me.
Dad?
And I'd be like, son, no. No. Daddy said no. And he just said, you know, what's you? Are you kidding me? You know, that's that rebellious sin nature that's in all of us. You are born again. You do have the Holy Spirit living in you. But if there's that fight going on, that means you're alive.
Amen.
See, because dead people don't wrestle with it. If you are born again, then you're going to be wrestling with it. You're going to be trying to take captive those thoughts and make it obedient to Christ. That shows that you're alive. So don't get discouraged because you're in a battle.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That just shows your life. But God doesn't want you just be in the battle. He wants you victorious.
That's right.
You've already won the battle. You're fighting not for victory, from victory.
Amen. Yes.
Paul says in these last verses here, and we'll just end with, he says, what a wretched man that I am. And you know what? Sometimes, don't you feel that way? I do. Like, this is a hard term here, so please forgive me if you need to rebuke me afterwards. I suck. You know, my wife's going to get mad at me for saying that. But that's how I'm like, man, I just stink. Why am I even bored? You know?
Nobody listens to me.
Nobody listens to me. That's my little cry, yeah. What a wretched man. I'm, and that's what Paul is saying. So if that's what you're fighting with once in a while in your life, then you're still alive. Praise God for that. Oh, man, I'm a wretched man. That just means I'm miserable. When I'm trying to live this life apart from yielding to the Holy Spirit in my life, I just feel like a wretched man. And you may even feel like a miserable woman. But this is what he said. This is important. And if you do this kind of thing, I would underline it in your Bible. Verse 24 says, "What will rescue me from this death?" Or does it say that?
Who?
No. Who? Who shall?
Who?
Who will rescue?
Who?
Absolutely. If I were you, I would circle that who. It doesn't say, "What shall rescue me?" or "How shall I be rescued?" It's not saying, "Get this Christian books, read these 7 habits of an effectual Christian, whatever, these 12 steps to spiritual victory, do these things." It says, "Who? Who will rescue me?" Some of your Bibles are like, "Who will deliver me?" Right? Who will deliver me from this body of this stank body of death? You know, back in the old days, the Romans used to think of terrible ways to like torture people. And one of the things, a particularly heinous crime, if you murdered somebody, sometimes they would enact this. You know what they would do? They would take the body, right, of the person you'd murdered, and they would tie it to you. Hand to hand, face to face, belly to belly, lips to lips, and they would tie it to you. Mary's like, "Good!" And then what would happen is, you know, the only person who could free you, right, was the leader. And you would have to go with that decaying corpse, face to face, leg to leg, walking around, you bound to it, right? And what happens to those corpses after a while?
Putrefy.
It smells. Putrefies.
Falls apart.
Falls apart. Disease, bugs, worms. That's exactly what would happen. And then eventually, having that flesh walking around with it, sometimes that disease would infect you and start to rot you in the same way. It was a terrible sentence. And there's only one person who could deliver and unbind that person in that same way. Maybe that's what he was referring to. But all I know is there's only one person who can unbind you. You have one deliverer. You have one rescuer. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your pastor. It's not your friend. It's not your church. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your deliverer. He's your rescuer. And that word for deliverer, I have it in my Bible. I wrote it down in Greek. I can't remember the word right off the top of my mind. But the word in Greek is a picture of a person who is on the battlefield, right? And he's been injured, you know? And it's the deliverer, the rescuer, the picture there in Greek is of being on a battlefield and taking that person who's been hurt or whatever and bringing him to safety, right? Delivering and rescuing him. That's the picture of your deliverer. So it's not a what, it's not even a how, it's a who. The Lord can unlock that stink. He can unlock that. He's the one that's going to deliver you. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to leave you with this last song. And now, there wasn't any breaks back in the Old Testament. And okay, I want to do the last verse, but the Lord just tell me no, so I'm going to leave it right here. I'm going to... George, I think, has a video that I'm going to queue up, and I just want us to listen to this, and I want you to think about it, because you're all fighting that fight, and you remember, again, it's not going to be brother, sister, mom, dad, husband, wife, work, school, it's Jesus. He's the one you're going to continually cry out to, and you need to feed that spirit and not the flesh, right? You need to feel, let that spirit become stronger and stronger. You might not even realize that you're getting stronger. But every time you go to that women's Bible study, the men, every time you're seeking the Lord, you open up your devotional book, or you're listening to something on the radio, teaching on the radio, God is strengthening you. Every time you seek Him in prayer, you're feeding the spirit. You're feeding, and that's getting stronger. Every time you choose not to give in to your flesh, you know, and you choose to trust God, and He empowers you to obey Him, even though it looks crazy, you're being strengthened in your spirit. And you can have victory, not because of a what or a how, but because of whom. Because of Jesus Christ. And that is what I guess I want to leave you with today. He is your rescuer. He is your deliverer. George, would you mind starting that up? Michael, would you hit the lights and we'll see if this actually works. My words are drifting. I don't know where to go. I was hanging with my friends and done some more. They do not know singing some come home. But the melody was hard to sing. Up here, and if we can get a couple others to come up here to pray for folks. If there's somebody, George, I'm just going to ask, we're going to dismiss in a second after prayer. George, if you can just put on some worship music in the back. I'm just going to say, if there's something that you're struggling with up here that's in your heart and you just want God to be all the more, we just want to pray for you. If that's you, we want to pray for that deliverance for you. We just ask that you just come up and we're just going to pray for you one by one. And if there's nobody that comes, great. But if there's 10 people that come, just be patient. We just want to pray for you. And so if there's something you want to be delivered from, then come on up. And we want to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we want to pray for you for that deliverance. And if some of you are here who do not know Christ and you're just saying, man, that's me. I'm walking around totally with that dead body all the time and I can't get rid of it ever. Well, Jesus wants to set you free for the first time, you know. He wants to let you be born again. He wants to give you victory over that sin too. And if you don't know him and you want to know him as your Lord and Savior, then come up and just tell one of us that. Or grab somebody's arm and say, I want to know this Jesus. I want this Jesus in my life. And you know what? We'll pray. We'll show you how you can have a personal relationship with him that is real and that is life-changing. Okay? So let's take a minute and pray. And if anybody wants to come up here afterwards, you're welcome. Otherwise, you're free to fellowship and do it. Father, we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for the people here in this body, Lord. We're so thankful for them, Lord. We're thankful for the work that you're doing in them. We're thankful for the work that you're doing through them, Lord God. But we're not satisfied with that. We ask for more, Lord God. We ask that you would feed the spiritual lives of each one of us, Lord God, that we wouldn't be satisfied. We wouldn't be deceived by sin or lulled by sin into complacency, Lord, but filled with your Holy Spirit. To love as only you can love. To obey as only you can obey, Lord. To live as only you can live in and through us, Lord God. That's what we want, Lord God. We want nothing short of that awesome, victorious life, Lord God. And I pray right now, if anyone is struggling with condemnation or they don't know how to have that spirit-filled life, Lord, that's what the next chapter is all about, Lord. Starting with, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That you would show them that, Lord God, and show us that together as a body, and then show us how to live that spirit-filled life, which is what chapter 8 is all about, Lord God. So help each person to live today and to remember it's not a what or a how, it's a whom. You are our deliverer, Jesus. You are our rescuer from the battlefield, Lord God. Will you do that today? We thank you and we ask for your blessing on this body, this group, this school, this church, these people, these Bible studies, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 And amen. If you want to come up real quick, please.